And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. Joining me today is the Picks Gang. We got Tom Fornelli, we got Robbie Callen, and we've got a slate of top 25 action from around the country to break down, preview, and pick against the spread. Make sure that you are subscribed to the SEC on CBS podcast so that you can get all of the episodes first and enjoy the top 25 Picks Cast. Back here on the SEC on CBS podcast, doing one of my favorite things that we do every single week, and that is to break down the top 25 slate against the spread with my very good friends, colleagues, and pick gang partners, Tom Fornelli, Robbie Callen. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Hello.
Hey, gang.
I don't know if I'd call us very good friends.
Wow. Yikes.
Wow.
I mean, we were very good friends, but then you scheduled this podcast to be recorded while I was in the middle of watching The New Point Break for the first time, and you've kind of thrown my day into upheaval, and I don't think a very good friend does that.
Sky Heist.
There have been so many times that you have been over backwards to meet my needy demands, Tom, as a podcast host. I apologize for adding this to the long list. Throw it in the suggestions box, and you will get a return from the committee later.
Yeah, I'm the very good friend. You?
all right, guys. We've got a massive game going on down in Tallahassee. It's Clemson. It's Florida State. It is the Clemson Tigers. Phenomenal on defense, but sloppy with the ball on offense at times. Favored by 4.5 going into the Sod Cemetery. Ooh, on Halloween. Tom, talk to me about you've got Florida State covering the spread. Do you have Florida State winning this game?
I do.
Tell me about it.
I wish I had like a real like clear cut trend to go to with this pick. It's really more of a gut feeling. Just watching Clemson this year, I feel like it's ripe for a loss at some point because, you know, it's the offense hasn't been nearly as sharp as we saw last year, even though Mike Williams is back and you thought that his return being full health would only make Clemson's offense even scarier. But Sean Watson's just kind of off. His accuracy hasn't really been there. The offensive line's been kind of at times. And you mentioned the turnovers, which are another big factor. Clemson turns the ball over just too much. So I feel like if at any point all of that's going to come up and bite it, what other game besides this one would be the time for it to happen? So I look at a Florida State team that still doesn't have Derwin James, but it's had problems of its own this year. But like Clemson, it's coming off a bye, and I feel like that bye maybe could be, you know, really good for Florida State in order to get some stuff together and to have some things, particularly in the secondary, ironed out going forward. And I just think that at home on Saturday night against Clemson in a huge game, Florida State's going to pull through, and it's going to throw the ACC Atlantic into chaos, because if Florida State wins this game, we're looking at a situation where Louisville, Florida State, and Clemson could all easily, you know, be tied for first place at the end of the season with wins over one another, you know, in like a round robin-ish type way. And the ACC's tiebreaker is a metric that they're paying a company for that does not release what the metric is. So talk about great conspiracy chaos type of things going on here. If you want just insanity to reign, you want Florida State to win this game.
See, the best part is the company is actually Tom Fornelli and his Fornelli 50 rankings.
It is. It's my rankings. It's my formula. I'm being paid $50,000, and I could just make it up. I could just be like, yeah, Florida State. Yep,
that'll it's be. Gonna be it's gonna be great because he actually will put Syracuse through.
No. What'll be actually great is that Tom will create a three-way tie, even though Florida State's got an extra ACC loss to North Carolina.
Oh yeah, that's right. My bad.
So Clemson would win in that scenario and get in over Louisville.
I forgot about that. Listen, all right. I'm trying to watch Point Break here.
And the other thing, the sports analytics group that is contracted by the ACC to do that, it is a very interesting wrinkle to the tie-breaking procedure, but it's also like the seventh bylaw. Like, you've already got to go through records against division opponents, records against common opponents. Like, you've got to take the tie-breaking procedures all the way down to where it's damn near rock, paper, scissors before you actually go to the sports analytics community. I think Clemson wins this game. I think that Clemson has an overwhelming advantage when its defensive front goes up against Florida State's imitation of a pass defense. And I think that they look at what Louisville did, and after facing Louisville, know that they have the kind of athletes and know that they've got the kind of edge rushers that can be able to do the same thing. And while DeAndre Francois has gotten better, I don't know if he's gotten beat Dexter Lawrence, Carlos Watkins, Christian Wilkins better. You know, 4.5 is a spread I am very willing to lose on, but I do not think Clemson loses this game. Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, look, Florida State's offense has not, like, the last couple games, they didn't look great against Miami. They certainly didn't look great against Wake Forest. And
they're not playing against good offenses. It's not like this has all of a sudden become a defensive stalwart team.
No, and so I just think Clemson's a better football team. I think they have the better talent on the field and depth right now, just the way Florida State's been playing. I don't know what happened that secondary. It's not all Derwin James being gone because they struggled when he was there.
Hey, shout out to people that mispronounce it as Darwin James, because I just laugh about on the origin of pass defense over and over and over again.
Derwin James's name has evolved over the years.
It truly has. Nailed it! I just think Clemson's the better football team here. I think both teams coming off the bye is essentially a wash because Clemson will be fired up because they escaped that North Carolina State game, had the bye week to think about it. Dabo's been talking to them about it, telling them they haven't earned anything yet, getting them back in kind of underdog mentality, which I think they lost after they beat Louisville.
Like,
in the fashion they did.
Like, there was a little bit of feeling yourself.
Oh, because you're looking at Florida State as being in a down year. So I think last week escaped that North Carolina State, or 2 weeks ago escaped that the Wolfpack, get refocused, get ready, go and make a little statement in Doak. I think they win by a touchdown. I don't think they blow them out or anything, but just enough to cover that 4.5. But again, wouldn't be surprised if it's a 3-point game just because rivalry game.
Right. No, I am not going to be surprised to take an L on my ATS pick. I will be jaw on the floor if Florida State wins this game.
For sure. Very surprised.
Very, very surprised.
No, I won't be because I'll have picked it to happen.
All right, we're going to go over to Madison, Wisconsin, where the Wisconsin Badgers have an incredible opportunity. If they can beat Nebraska, they can set in motion a series of events which can get the Badgers back to the Big Ten championship game. And I frame this game as such because I believe, gents, in my heart of hearts, that Wisconsin is the best team in that division, but because of its absolutely brutal schedule and losses to Michigan and Ohio State, it finds itself needing to climb up and hand out some losses. Nebraska is obviously a very important one, and Nebraska also has to go play Ohio State. So this is a huge, huge, huge Big Ten West head-to-head battle, and the Badgers, according to the odds makers, heavily favored. 8.5 points in this spot. All of us are taking Nebraska. I don't have the straight up pulled up, but is anybody taking the Cornhuskers to cover?
No. To cover? We're all on them to cover.
To win straight up.
Are taking them to win outright.
No, I took Wisconsin to win.
I mean, just better team?
They're just a better team, but they're not. Wisconsin just plays close games. Yeah. That's what they do. They play one possession football games. Michigan State had to be as awful as possible to let them win 30-6. Michigan State's not a good football team.
I agree that Wisconsin's better than Nebraska in the fact that it's actually been tested, while Nebraska hasn't really had a true test. I still don't know if, on the whole, Wisconsin really is better than Nebraska, though, because as we've talked about over the weeks, Wisconsin's half a football team.
But it's a really good half.
They're a very good half.
But in their four conference games, Wisconsin's offense is barely averaging over 5 yards per play, and they're only averaging 19.3 points per game. Nationally, respectively, those numbers rank 99th and 106th. This is a bad offense. And although they played better at home a couple weeks ago against Ohio State coming off the bye, and I expect them to play better at home, I just don't know if they're truly better than Nebraska, but I'm still going to pick them to win this game. But I think Nebraska is going to cover because, I mean, Alex Hornibrook's not going to be able to win this by themselves. And I think Nebraska's defense, which hasn't really gotten a ton of attention, but it's actually been pretty good. It's limiting in Big Ten play. It's limiting teams to only 3.5 yards per carry. I think they could do a good job of at least limiting Corey Clement and forcing Hornibrook to beat them on his own. And I think Wisconsin's defense will help out. Obviously, just, I don't think they can cover the 8.5.
Yeah. I mean, the 8.5 almost made 8.5 made me think in the back of my head, especially, you know, the just grind that Wisconsin has been in. Like, what if Wisconsin does blow this one out? Like, there's eight and a half suggests to me, when you're throwing it a full point and a half on the other side of a touchdown, like, yes, you are at home. Yes, this is Camp Randall. But if you, like Tom, like you said, if you believe that Nebraska is at least on the same tier as this, 8.5 against an offensively challenged team, like that makes me think that odds makers believe Nebraska won't score more than 7 to 10 points.
Yeah, I think that you get like a really definite Iowa 2015 feel with the way people view this Nebraska team. Whereas it keeps winning, and every week everybody's kind of like, yeah, I don't know how good it actually is. And then the next thing you know, it's 12-0 at the end of the regular season. I get that same kind of vibe off this Nebraska team, where it's not a team that you're going to consider, you know, to be on that playoff level tier or like a real contender for the playoff. But compared to the rest of the teams in the Big Ten West, it might just be better. And I think that's what we're going to find out on Saturday more than anything, is whether Nebraska actually is as good as its record, or if it's, you know, just been kind of living off a somewhat easy schedule.
Another playoff other game with playoff implications, going out west to Salt Lake City, going up in the altitude, and a game that will kick off in the early afternoon local time. Washington going to play the Utah Utes. We've got the Utes as a 10.5 point home dog. Robbie Callen, this should be a principal play for you. What the hell? Home dog? No home dog? 10 and a hook?
I know. It hurts me.
Not on brand.
Off brand. But this is a gut play, and actually this is more of a brain play. I've watched Utah play football.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched them play UCLA. And I watched them give up 45 points to a not good offense. And I say, oh no. Oh no, 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 no. Jake Browning is going to do bad things to them. And then I look at that offense and I say, can they do what they need to do in the shootout to keep up for four quarters against that Washington defense? And I say, no. No, they cannot. This is 42-24.
Wow.
Beat them down.
Damn. Oh. I'm nervous about Marcus Williams, one of the best pass defenders on that Utah team, who's out for the rest of the year with an injury. That can be problematic. Going up against Jake Browning.
Good, boys.
Jake Browning's good. John Ross is good.
They got players. Gaskin can run it.
Hey, but Miles Gaskin didn't start. I've got my eye on you, Miles. I could see this season going either way for him. Obviously, good week last week, but I don't know, Tom. You're on the Huskies too. Do you want to give me a score or just a general prediction of how you think this one is going to play out?
I hate picking against Utah at home as an underdog, because this is typically when Utah generally covers at home as a dog.
Right.
But it's a lot for the same reasons as Robbie's picking. It's just this Utah team, it had a great week last week. You know, Joe Williams ran for 1,000 billion yards against UCLA. But like you said, it still gave up 45 points to a UCLA team without Josh Rosen. It was Mike Fafel or Farvel or however the heck you say his last name playing quarterback for the Bruins. And I don't see this offense being able to do what it did against UCLA against this Washington defense. You know, this is still the same Utah offense that was only able to put up 19 on Oregon State and was only able to put up 23 points against Cal. It's not a great offense, and that Washington offense is very strong. So even if it's not scoring 45 points against this Utah defense, I still think that the combination of Washington's offense and defense, they're better than Utah in both areas. I think the only area where Utah really is better or at least comparable to Washington is on special teams. And that's good.
A third of the game, as they tell you, which is the biggest lie in sports because they're on the field like eight times.
Exactly. It's good to be good in special teams, but I would like to have a little bit more going against Washington in this game. So,
God damn.
I just think that I think that Washington's going to win this one with relative ease. I really do. I was not a believer in Washington at the beginning of the year, and as the year has gone on, the more I've watched this team, I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, they're real damn good.
They're probably going to the playoff.
Yep. 10 points and a hook at altitude, at home. I'm all principle here.
You're not wrong to be on the principle side. No. I went against my principles, and guess what? I probably deserve to lose.
I don't have the number in front of me, but trust me, Kyle Whittingham as a home dog at Utah has been very good.
Yes. Hey. Oh, I know he has, but I just don't think they have the horses.
Neither do I. It's the same principle as Wisconsin. This is like half a football team, and its defense isn't as good as Wisconsin's.
No, the defense has had some letdowns. So.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Robbie, that's not the biggest lie in sports. We know what the biggest lie in sports is. It's that don't let them tell you when you have the league's first unanimous MVP. When you're up 3-1 in the NBA finals. that you can't lose.
Listen, when you're up 3-1 in the NBA finals with the first ever NBA unanimous MVP, you just throw out the record book.
One of the best things, and one of the things that is not one of the biggest lies in sports. In fact, one of the most truthful comments that you will hear on any sports podcast anywhere in the country is that a made-to-measure suit, it fits better, it looks better, and it's just going to make you feel better than a generic off-the-rack suit. And that's why we are so excited to bring you a great deal with our partners at Indochino. This week, my listeners get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com if you enter SEC at checkout. That $389 is 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. And plus, the shipping, it's free. That's Indochino.com, promo code SEC, for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor again. So get ready to look like $1 million. Let's see. We are going to pivot to Austin, Texas, where we've got some heat on the seat of our boy Chuck Strong.
What? What is this line? Can we?
I mean, that's a.
Examine
this. I have tried to figure this out myself.
This thing stinks to high. Texas +3.5 against Baylor. I know you're at home, but this is, for whatever you want to think of Baylor, they're still the number 8 team. They're probably, like, in a normal year, like the 15th best team. Like, this year, there's nobody good outside the top, like, 5 teams. So you have really weird top 10 teams like Baylor and Nebraska. But this is a bad Texas team.
I'm not impressed. 3.5? I'm not impressed with Baylor. And apparently neither are odds makers.
I'm impressed with Baylor.
All right.
You have to be impressed with Baylor. You have to have watched Texas football.
No. Here's where I think this line comes from.
Talk to me.
Because Baylor, I agree. I saw 3.5 and I was laughing. Like, okay, sure, I guess I'll take Baylor. But here's who's Baylor's played this year, okay? Northwestern State, SMU, Rice, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Kansas. By far, its toughest game was Oklahoma State, which it won 35-24 as far as opponents consider. But its toughest game in practice was actually at Iowa State, in which it won 45-42, which was also the first time it was on the road against somebody that wasn't Rice. So I think that what Vegas is looking at here is that Baylor on the road hasn't really had a test, and the one time it's gone on the road against Iowa State, it had needed a fourth quarter comeback to beat the Cyclones. So I think that what Vegas is looking at is, yeah, Texas isn't good, but at least it's got an offense that's proven it's capable of scoring points, and nobody really knows what to make of the Baylor defense yet. So that's my theory. All that being said, Baylor minus 3.5, give it to me.
Yeah.
I got Texas straight up.
Woo! Monster. Well, you have to if you're taking it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the line stinks to high heavens. Yeah. Don't trust Baylor at all.
Okay.
Like, actively disliking watching Baylor football. I don't like that team so much. I think Seth Russell is just an avatar that's lazing his way around, eating fresh fruit. Like, he is not a game breaker. Like, that, the way that all of that talent and everything is put together, I know that Art Briles isn't there, but Kendall Briles is there. Phil Bennett's there. Defense ain't good. Both teams score over 40 points in this game. Both teams score over 40 points in this game. And who knows? Let's say Malik Jefferson, because he's one of the only players on Texas's defense that I also don't dislike actively. Maybe, let's say he runs back a pick six. Texas wins.
Well, let's say hypothetical then. Texas does win this game. Chip is proven to be a genius. What does that do for Charlie Strong?
Oh, it just extends the awkwardness.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It's like, I don't think that's a win where everybody's gonna be like, extend Charlie, Texas is back.
No, I mean, I think Mac beat Baylor his last year. Like, there's all it does.
Is there a precedent for this happening?
No, I'm just saying that
beat Baylor, get canned.
No, I'm just saying that I'm saying beat Baylor doesn't mean job saved.
Oh, no, there's no.
I just, it's like, I feel like it at least, how much time do you think it went over Baylor buys Chuck?
Till the end of the season?
Does he get the whole season at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because after Baylor, they get Texas Tech. Then they get West Virginia at home, which will probably be a loss. But then they finish up with Kansas and TCU. So I feel like there might be another win or two left on there. So if they beat Baylor, I think it buys Chuck the rest of the season.
I think, got to be careful about this. You'll find yourself quoted on Twitter for the recklessness that I spew on this podcast. I think my prediction is that they will make that decision public whenever Tom Herman says he wants to come on over.
That is the scuttlebutt. If Tommy Boy is coming to Austin.
If Tom says, you know what, just give Chuck the rest of the season. Let him get carried off the field for that season finale. I'll be there on Monday.
So at the end of the year, you think that Tom Herman will be kissing his players goodbye instead of just kissing them to pump them up for the game?
Yes, I do. I think he might have already done it. I think we might see this Houston team in free fall second half of the season.
He's kissing them like Michael Corleone kissed Fredo?
Yup! Which stinks for Ed Oliver, and especially Greg Ward Jr., who's like, I laid my life on the line for you. Greg Ward Jr. put his body out there to get smashed. And
yeah, he did. But, you know, hey, that's... They make them race cars out of that metal for a reason. You know what I'm saying? They put the chassis down there.
Yeah, coming around, Charger, coming around, attacking.
You got to rub, and Robin's racing.
Oh, man. All right, Tom, you were not on the SEC podcast, but I do want to get your thought on this. Florida, Georgia. Are you calling a Georgia upset? Principal play?
Yeah. No, I took Georgia to cover. I'm pretty sure I took Florida straight up. But that world's smallest indoor cheese party, or whatever the hell they're calling it now.
River City Showdown.
And what the hell is that? I mean...
No, the cocktail party.
It's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. People are going to get drunk no matter what you call it.
It's okay. Wolokapoo.
The
Wolokapoo. Yeah, stupid.
This podcast is going off the rails.
West Virginia undefeated and going into Stillwater. The Mountaineers, 4.5-point road favorites here. And for some reason, I am not scared at all of Oklahoma State. Like I am uncomfortably unafraid at this moment. And it sounds like you guys are too. Like there's been nothing. I've watched a good bit of Oklahoma State this year. They're not great.
No. Yeah, that's the reason you're not afraid of Oklahoma State is because they really just aren't very good.
No. I mean,
this is the team that lost to Central Michigan in the crazy fashion. It played one tough road game against Baylor, and it lost that. Its wins, it beat Pitt, but Pitt, as we've seen, is just like a Big 12 team playing in the ACC right now. Yep. And then its other three Big 12 wins are Texas, Iowa State, and Kansas.
Woo!
So, I mean, we're clearly putting the kibosh on West Virginia's undefeated season right now because all three of us are very firmly on the mountain.
Just locking it in.
So they're doomed. But
Skylar Howard's going to throw for four bills.
Yeah, the fact this is an early game kind of scares me a little bit, but I'm really not.
Early game, whatever. I mean, West Virginia's defense is pretty dang good. I mean, they don't have
morning, noon, or night, West Virginia's defense is ready to play.
But here's the thing. I've been skeptical of West Virginia for long enough, and look, I'm not saying like I'm buying totally in on them like running the table or anything, but I'll buy them against Oklahoma State. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I've also been out on Oklahoma State since before the season. So this shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody.
I am
here's the digits.
I'm a very, very big fan of the pride of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, Russell Schell. My man, Russell Schell. Oh. Was one of the top in-state recruits for a gentleman by the name of Paul Christ back when he was with the ye old Pitt Panthers. Transferred from Pitt to West Virginia after the coaching change. Actually, before the coaching change. But him resurfacing as a redshirt junior, super productive, methodical, plodding back that brings some balance to this offense makes me happy. Good for my boy Rush. Very excited to see him. I think he balls out against a subpar Oklahoma State defense and continues to rise through the ranks.
His name is Russell, but he's never in a hurry.
Get it?
Boo.
All right, so what's the final score for Michigan? Oh, you guys are taking Sparty. Yeah, what's the
hell
score?
Yeah.
What's the points?
Yeah, no.
Yes.
Listen.
Yes, under. First off, under.
If there's a principal play, this is your principal play. This not is only is Michigan State getting 23.5 as a home dog, but it's in a rivalry game.
Yes.
And say what you want about Michigan State being bad this year, because Michigan State has been bad.
This is
their damn Super Bowl. You know what I mean? They're going to be ready to play this one. They're probably not going to win because Michigan's just too good for them. But to cover 23.5 points, if Michigan State doesn't cover this spread, that's a serious problem for Sparty.
I don't think Michigan State scores 10 points.
It doesn't matter. I think look, this is the game D'Antonio gets at least gets the defense up.
Here's right.
You guys Michigan are acting State. Like Michigan State didn't catch any breaks in this rivalry in the last year.
No,
they did, but they've also been better than Michigan. They're not better than Michigan this year. That's not the argument. But the point is, even if the offense really struggles, they're going to do a fake punt for a big play. They're going to do something on defense because Mark D'Antonio always has plays like that saved for these games. He has things saved. This is huge. They're at best, they're hoping for like the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit at the end of the year, if they could even get to a bowl game. So they know this is their biggest game of the season right now. This is their biggest game of the year. They're going to come out, play better than they have at any point this season and lose, but they're going to cover that spread.
They're going to try so hard and lose by 18 points.
17, yeah.
All right, I could be very off on my read. I've been very off on many reads over the last 6 or 7 years of putting my projections out here in public and looking like an idiot. But Mark D'Antonio telling reporters this week and indicating to reporters this week, both directly and indirectly, that this Michigan State coaching staff, they're just turning into freshmen. They are making every game, in my opinion, they are making every game like the dopest bowl practice or scrimmage you could ever ask for.
They're not doing it for this game.
No.
Trust me.
This is a ploy.
Mark D'Antonio is not punting on the Michigan game. I don't care what he says. Indirectly or directly.
Purposes, for Cruton purposes and nothing else.
You don't punt on punting on this.
He might play some young guys, but like they're not going to just empty the bench.
No, they're not going to empty the bench, but this is going to be a great learning experience for somebody to go out there and get crushed in the open field.
Oh, well, no. Look, here's the thing. Michigan's defense, I wouldn't be surprised if they hold them under 10. I'm also very hard riding the under. Like, I think Michigan State's defense shows up. Michigan runs the ball pretty well, but I think Wilton Spate gets heated up a little bit.
Not totally
buying in.
Malik McDowell, big game.
He better have one.
All right. So that's probably our most fun thing to keep an eye on in terms of our rivalry in this.
Oh, cover town. That's all we care about going to. That's the only place I want to be.
So we
wasn't Cover Town the name of the band that did that butterfly song?
No, it's Crazy Town. Whoa, that answer was too fast.
Yeah, you guys were quick on that one.
Yikes! So, oh, I need those words back. Your butterfly sugar, baby. Oh,
he celebrates Crazy Town's entire catalog.
Respect Crazy Town, please.
Please.
Chip got like those little star tattoos that they had on his shoulders because he was just a huge Crazy Town fan.
No, the CD had that wax star on it. I want to say that. I want to say I didn't get the album, but that might have been one of those CD single purchases.
He wants to say he didn't get the album, but he got the help.
Hey, I will break open the CD, the Case Logic, from the garage. I can prove this one.
That's going to be the intro music next week.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Let's enjoy this weekend, and let's get all of our picks right, except for y'all's Sparty cover.
No, Sparty's going to cover.
Sparty!